Hello and welcome to this new episode of You May or May Not Like It. I am your temporary host, Brian. You find me on Twitter at Pure Rock Fury. I'm with Mike. You can find at Mike Miro 7. You can find the podcast at The Comic Roast. And you can find our website at Review and Roast on Twitter, or you can also go to our website, reviewandroast.com. We're also on Facebook. Look up Review and Roast.
Yeah, if you go to anything, just hashtag Review and Roast. Normally, we're the top.
Yeah, I don't know if we get a lot of competition in that name department. Anyway, today we are going to finally discuss the entire second season of Daredevil on Netflix, as if you expected it to be anywhere else. Correct. Do we dive in?
I don't think we're gonna do episode by episode, but I don't know if we're gonna dive straight into Punisher, since that's what it's all about. I don't know if that's what it's all about, but
we can even just kind of segue in by talking about how season one ended, if you want, or we could just jump right into season two.
You're the host.
I'm the host. All right. Seeing as though season one's been out for a year, I'm going to guess that most people have seen it by now. I know a few people that haven't, and I feel very sorry for them. That's their problem.
Well, I'm guessing if they're going to listen to the season two podcast, I'm hoping they saw season one first.
Well, the people I know that didn't see it, they don't listen to podcasts, and I'm not even sure they know what a podcast is. So,
word.
Anyway, so at the end of season one, Matt Murdock officially becomes Daredevil, suit and all. And he kind of, I don't want to say he takes down Wilson Fisk, but he kind of ends his current reign of terror by getting him into the hands of the authorities. So
He ends up getting tried and he goes to jail.
Yes.
Basically. And his girlfriend goes away or something, right? That plays a smidge of a part in this one.
It does. It ends kind of on a happy note where him and Karen and Foggy are like, yay, we're going to lawyer now. Woo! So the second season starts where they're all kind of still friends, and Nelson and Murdock is doing pretty good. I mean, they're not really...
They're doing all right. They're doing good, but they're getting paid in fruit pies and handshakes or whatever.
Yeah, they're not really... Yeah.
They're not making the bank, but they're...
Nobody's got an elephant ivory desk yet,
right?
But I mean,
they're not quite making lawyer money.
Yeah, that's season four, I'm guessing. Yeah. You know, they're gonna do season three where he figures out what really happened to his dad, and then season four is when he becomes Mitt Romney,
right?
So, everything's kind of going good-ish-esque, and he's still doing the whole Daredevil thing at night, and Foggy's still doing the kind of conflicted "I think I'm in love with you" thing, where he's like, I don't want you to die, Matt. Don't die on me.
Right.
And he's like, I'm not going to die, Foggy. I'll be here forever.
Gets right into it, too, because, legit, Frank Castle's right in the first episode.
Yeah, that's kind of where he goes from just, stopping a robbery to all of a sudden, holy shit, 40 mob guys just ended up dead in a fire in the middle of Hell's Kitchen, and what's going on, and... They look at the entry wounds and they're like, this guy's precision skilled. He's not just shooting wildly into a window.
Right. And they pick up one of the guys gets away or wasn't there or whatever.
Yeah, that guy Grotto.
Grotto. Yeah, there you go. And basically his first report or statement was that it was done by multiple people. So everyone thought it was the work of some group of individuals going after various gang style people, right? Basically,
yeah, they suspect that
it's more than one dude. They figured it, one guy can't be out there causing mass chaos.
Yeah, and it wasn't until I think someone word started to travel around no, this is one guy doing all this, because it's
right. And that was the detective guy, I think, ended up telling him. That it was one, that they had their eyes on one guy. What's it, the sergeant, the the cop that they go to all the time? Mahoney.
Mahoney.
Why do I always forget that police academy?
Because, you know, Daredevil and Police Academy are so similar, it's hard to differentiate between the two.
I just like Mahoney.
Yeah, and I was hoping that Tackleberry would show up.
God.
But,
Tackleberry as the Punisher?
Yeah. Yeah, because actually at first they're thinking, well, like, all right, who's the three main, like, gangs in Hell's Kitchen? There's the Dogs of Hell, the Sons of Anarchy knockoff motorcycle gang. There's the Kitchen Irish, and then there's the Russians, who are kind of gone at this point.
Right.
And then the Yakuza is supposed to be out of the picture, but they, you know, make a triumphant return later on, but we'll get to that.
So let's get right into the fact that, like, I did not think John Bernthal was going to be any good at all.
That I mean, find kind of shocking.
You and I had the talk before this even aired, and I'm not even going to joke around. Like, the first episode, second episode, I wanted to hate him so much that I wasn't giving him probably the proper credit. I went back and ended up watching, like, the first couple episodes, and he is good. But I didn't like him until a little bit later on. I think, like, episode 4 or 5, I'm like, all right, this is the guy. He's
why awesome. Did you want to? You always, there's always, like, one guy you're like, I want to hate him so
much. I just did. I just didn't think he was right. And again, everyone knocks me because I hate, you know, I make size comparisons, but he's not big enough. I mean, I still don't think he's big enough to be the Punisher, like size-wise as a human being. But again, maybe Charlie Cox is 5 inches too short to be Daredevil 2. I don't know. But the point is, I just didn't picture it. Just in my mind, I didn't picture him like that. You know what I mean?
I mean, there are certain complaints. Like, if they cast Rob Schneider to play Batman, I'd be like, what? But if Batman's 6'2", and they cast a guy who's 5'11", I'm not going to be like, well, fuck that movie.
Yeah, no, I know, but I'm just saying, like, the Punisher is, you know, for all intents and purposes, in the comics, he's, you know, he's a regular, he doesn't have superpowers, he's just super badass, and a big dude. You know,
John Bernthal's a big guy.
I'm not saying he's not a big dude, but he's not 6 feet tall.
He's 5'10 and a half, I think, or 5'11".
Oh, yeah, giving him that extra half inch.
I'm just saying.
But yeah, I know, but I'm saying, like, you know, back in the olden days, I don't know if you ever saw, like, Dolph Lundgren played the Punisher, and he looks the part a lot more. Again, that movie was terrible, and he's not a great actor, but he is a big, tall dude. That's all.
That,
anyways.
He definitely had that going for him.
Hey, man, Rocky IV, that guy's a monster.
No, actually, when they announced, because I heard rumors that they were going to actually recast Thomas Jane to play Punisher again, and I was like, I don't hate that idea. I don't think Thomas Jane's a great actor.
I didn't love him that much as Punisher either, though.
I actually thought he was okay.
He's a little dread. I liked Ray Stevenson better.
I like Ray Stevenson for that movie, because that movie's just pure chaos.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I was a big fan of the show Rome, which he was on, but we're getting off topic here.
Well, that's the thing. When I saw that they cast Bernthal, I was at
see,
first...
and I never saw Walking Dead, because that's where he's from. I mean, I've seen a smidge of the first season, but not where everyone's like, oh my god, this guy's perfect. So I guess, maybe had I seen that, I don't know. He wasn't...
I was mixed on that, because as much as I liked him as an actor on Walking Dead, I hated the fact that, not so much that they kept Shane around, but because of the reason they did it, I was just like, this show is losing me so fast. But when I saw they cast Bernthal, I was just like, I don't know. And then I thought about it for a minute. I'm like, nah, he's actually going to be perfect for this. I'm like, and at this point, I mean, I know it's only one season in, but they know what they're doing. So I'm like, I'm all right with this. And then, yeah, he just...
Yeah, and you know what else, too, though? He, you know, obviously, they... Daredevil and the Punisher get into a couple... early round scraps.
Well, that was just the thing. Like, their fighting scenes look just fluid. Yeah. Like, they knew what... Like, they looked like they knew what they were doing.
Yeah, they were... They were pretty good, for sure. I mean, and again, that kind of led me towards, all right, he seems pretty good. I mean, obviously, killing and maiming is awesome, so... I mean, and he did that in the Punisher format, so... I couldn't really complain much, and then... I'm just going to jump right in and just, without, you know, we don't need to talk much, but that prison scene is what sold me. So
you waited that long? To
till I loved him. I mean,
see,
I stopped hating him probably, let's say, like the third episode or so. You know, once they started, And again, if you're familiar with the Punisher, they sort of go away from his original origins and kind of, I don't want to say they make one up, they kind of loosely base his origin in the show on his origin in the comics. And once they started digging into that, where you kind of see, you know, the purpose behind the monster, I started liking him a little bit too. You know, he started kind of John Bernthal I'm talking about. I mean, I like the Punisher. But once you get into that, I kind of appreciated him more as the actor. You know what I mean? Like, it kind of really sold me on the character by him being a good actor, I guess. So,
see, yeah.
Instead of grabbing some big dumb lug like Dolph Lundgren, you know. Dolph, if you're listening, I didn't mean any of that.
The moment I knew he was perfect for this role was the second time that him and Murdoch met on the rooftop, and the landlord came upstairs, and he's like, what's going on up here? And he did the whole, like, yeah, Semper Fi, while he's holding the gun on the other side of the door. I was just like, fuck, this guy's he's fucking
perfect. He was pretty good at being all business. Hands down. I mean, there's no doubt about it. So, I mean, that's for sure. So, I mean, long story short, as you may have guessed already, Daredevil and Punisher go at it, and obviously Daredevil, let's just say, apprehends the Punisher, for lack of a better way to put it, and turns over credit to Mahoney. Mahoney's the one that ends up taking him in and ends up getting the promotion to detective. I mentioned detective earlier. And Murdoch and Nelson, or Nelson and Murdoch, they decide to take the case to actually defend Castle, which I don't even know. So much goes on in this, I don't even know, like, what to say next. You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to, like, loosely give the synopsis of the first few episodes, and I don't even know where so much happens. You know, besides, like, Grotto, the whole thing with Grotto, which leads to that second fight between the two.
Yeah, because the whole sting operation was actually a setup.
Long story short, there's so much goes on in the first
four episodes.
Four episodes are just, I mean, it's weird because they're jam-packed, but they're not, I'm making them sound extremely confusing, but they're perfectly fluid. I don't know how else to explain it. Because in the midst of all of this, after they apprehend, or after Frank Castle's apprehended, you know, Elektra's actually introduced while that's all going on.
Well, that's kind of the thing, like,
and that's a whole nother. I mean, so if I made it sound ridiculous already, I mean, now throw Elektra in there.
Foggy's whole purpose from day one was to kind of be the sort of not in the know, annoying, like, friend sort of. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Like, he has to kind of be the guy that he knows what's going on, but he really doesn't.
Right.
And Karen, because of her past run-ins with violent criminals, right, and her other secret as far as her actually killing someone herself, right, in season one, she kind of feels like there's more to Frank
Arguably
Castle.
The best character in season one, in my opinion.
Who? Oh, her, the guy she kills?
Yeah.
Fitz's right-hand man,
which I can't think of the name now, but
that guy was
super
the best.
Good. Yeah.
He was the best, like, immediately.
Yeah.
And that's actually one of his first roles ever, too, which is kind of amazing.
Yeah, I seen him in something else, like a small role in something else, but I mean, right there, he was killing it, for real. Anywho.
Yeah, I don't want the show to go supernatural, but if they do, like, they should bring him back. As something, I have no idea. Like, Doctor Strange's cousin, or maybe, I don't know.
So, anyways, John Bernthal, he's got my vote. They cast him right. I mean, at this point, I hate to say it. I mean, who am I to even doubt the casting of these people anymore? Because they've been hitting it on the head. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, why even? I mean, there were some complaints about Elektra from other people. I actually thought she was pretty good.
My only thing with Elektra was not the person they cast. It was just kind of like, this is going to sound weird, but I kind of got, like, invested in the whole Karen Murdoch romance thing.
Oh, yeah.
Which I don't normally do, but I, like, wanted that to happen, and she immediately interrupted it, and I was like, God damn it, get her out of here.
Dude, I actually thought that was the best part. Like, I was glad to see that, like, go. Like, I... Ugh. Not... again, not that I hated that either, and not that I'm anti-love story, but as if anyone reads anything that I type about, love stories are, I know they're a necessary evil, but they're just super, they take away from the story, in my opinion, sometimes. The actual meat and potatoes of the story, I guess. You know, you always got that, like, oh, does she like me thing. Like,
that's just
super annoying.
Well, A, I don't think Matt Murdock has that problem. He pretty much goes, she likes me.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah.
He's like, that guy wants to sleep.
But yeah, well, the cool thing about the Elektra story was they sort of peppered in the history of the two of them, and I thought that was actually super interesting. You know what I mean? Like, the whole how they met and what they did and why, you know, they get into the why she even came into his life. It was just, I don't know what to say and what to not spoil and what to spoil.
It's all going to get spoiled.
I mean, there's no reason to go overly crazy, but
there's no reason to go balls deep yet.
Yeah, not quite.
In a minute, though.
But they do, they do get into why she came about, and then, like you were saying earlier, the whole thing with, like, the Yakuza, now they have, what they call it, the Hand.
Yep.
Is the new Japanese gang, or well,
they're referred to as a cult.
Yeah, it's kind of like a 1,000-year-old cult or something, right? I mean, it was basically,
they said that
they've been looking for the one or something to that effect. I'm botching this up.
They said that the Hand has existed longer than any country on planet Earth.
Right.
Which is
about
maybe
30-40 years.
Maybe or maybe not, I don't know. But it definitely adds, like, this whole level of where they can go with it going forward, because
right, and the Hand, let's just be clear right now, has an unlimited supply of ninjas.
Yeah, and that's...
In case
that's,
you need ninjas, you call the Hand, because they just... There's a few scenes where ninjas are legitimately coming out of the rafters. I mean, they couldn't get more ninjas in the scene if they wanted more ninjas. There's ninjas everywhere. So if you're a fan of ninjas, this is the show to watch. About episode, what, 8? There's 50 ninjas an episode.
Easy. Well, Nobu was a ninja in the first season, but
right,
he didn't really
one that actually like
you didn't get,
decimates Daredevil.
Yeah, and you didn't get much out of him as far as what kind of character he was going to be. He was just like the silent assassin that kind of sort of worked with Wilson Fisk, but not really, because he was more with Miss Wu, I think her name is.
Right, and basically now, you get the he's more of a big deal than he let on to be.
Right.
I mean, basically,
and that was
he's sort of the front. I don't want to say I guess maybe like the showman of the Hand, maybe not the shot caller. They didn't really.
I thought it was going to be that lady, but I am starting to think that she's just.
The old lady?
Yeah, I'm starting to think she's just.
Some old lady.
She's in the mix, but she's not really near. She's not even really near the
top.
She
got the moves, though. Remember that one time she slapped the shit out of him? She did.
I think she's focusing more on her paintings these days. I could be wrong.
So.
But especially now, and again, we'll get to this, but what Murdoch's swinging around with him, I don't think you can really mess with him anymore.
Who?
Daredevil.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I actually, getting all the way back, since we're a smidge off where we started, I did like Elektra. I did like that she disrupted the whole thing, and Foggy did turn it up a notch. I think that's where we were.
Yes. Well, because like I said, like
he went from, you know, yeah, like you said, from sidekick or second tier to he sort of takes, basically, long story short, what I was getting to with the whole sprinkling of Elektra. So when Elektra comes back into the scene, she sort of pulls Murdoch / Daredevil, both of them, kind of away from this whole case that they were building for Castle. So he ends up being absent for a lot of it, and Foggy basically takes the reins and, let's just say, runs the firm, for lack of a better term. Like, he's the guy, and much to his own surprise, he does a pretty good job, and it was pretty cool. I actually enjoyed that part. I mean, there's just again, there's just so much I don't even know what to talk about. You know what I mean?
Right. And that's kind of it's that moment in the cemetery where Daredevil is talking to Frank Castle, and he right. kind of, in a weird way, he opens up for the first time probably ever.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when Matt Murdock realized, okay, this guy isn't just running around killing people. I mean, he's got, for whatever...
Right, he's got a tragedy story that goes along. He's not
he's got a reason, as completely messed up as it is.
Right.
It's not that he's just running around murdering
Right, and
anybody.
At that point in the story, I mean, again, we don't know what the future is going to hold, but at that point in the story, he was legit only targeting those that were responsible for said tragedy that happened to him.
Right.
So it's not like he was even just, you know, he wasn't just, you know, shooting purse snatchers in the head. He was going after specific individuals tied to specific organizations, basically.
Yeah, and they kind of were the leftovers of what, because that was like kind of the first third of this season was... Yeah, Matt Murdock, or rather Daredevil, thinks he did a great thing by getting rid of Wilson Fisk. All it did was leave more room for the rest of the rats to take over what's left.
Yeah.
And that is what Punisher decides to kind of wedge himself in, was that,
right.
yeah,
everybody's
you didn't,
fighting for the...
You didn't fix anything. Yeah. You just, you know...
It made it worse, really.
Before you had
organized crime, now it's disorganized. It's every man for himself, where before...
Right.
Nobody made a move without, you know, consulting, let's just say, the Council of Bad Guys or whatever, you know.
Exactly.
I.e. Fisk. But, yeah, so now it's just, you know, mass chaos.
And that's the one thing I was going to say, too. Like, as much as I love all these movies and these shows, all these villains are mostly one and done. They come in, they get beat, and then you never see it or hear from them again, which is fine. But that's why I'm almost starting to feel like these shows are way better than the movies, because they don't make the villains one and done. Like Wilson Fisk, he's really not gone anywhere.
He's actually almost, I mean, as we all know, he's in jail now, but he's almost,
Corleone.
I don't want to say he's in a better position, but he's...
Not Don Corleone. He's like, what's his name from Goodfellas? You know, cutting the garlic with the straight razor. He's like, yeah, I'm in here, but you know, I still run everything, and just wait till I get out. Then you're really going to be upset.
And that was the cool thing, because obviously, Castle, in his case, there's some twists and turns, and he ends up being charged with the crimes and going to jail, and he ends up in jail, in the same prison as Fisk, in which Fisk is making moves to get himself a little bit of power in prison. And arranged himself a meeting with Castle, who he knows is obviously some type of a tough guy.
Right, and this is where they start to kind of talk about the guy who's behind the reason why Frank Castle is where he is, which is this character called the Blacksmith that up to now you know nothing about.
Right.
It's just a name, it's super vague, but they're like, this is the guy that's behind it all.
Mm-hmm.
And... essentially, Wilson Fisk orchestrates a meeting with Frank Castle to take over prison, but he also throws him a bone and says, hey, you know, clear the rubble for me and I'll give you what you want.
Right, yeah. So basically, yeah, he kind of, he sets up a meeting, or sets up a meet, let's just say, I don't know if you'd call it even a meeting, but, and that leads to that scene that I was speaking of where John Bernthal actually sold me. There's a double cross involved, and Castle's stuck. He's basically locked in jail, and they, let's just say, open the doors for all the other bad guys, or all the other prisoners. I keep saying bad guys like a 9-year-old. But they... And he has to basically fight his way out, and that is I don't even know, the like, television greatness. I mean, there's not much to compare it to. There's nothing like it. I mean, what's like it?
The stairwell scene in episode 3 where Daredevil literally fights the entire Dogs of Hell down an emergency stairwell for like four floors.
Yeah, I mean,
that was
kinda.
That was a ballet of epic amazingness.
No, it is, but that's. I mean, that's not even on the same level as the gratuitous.
Oh no!
Decimation that the Punisher lays out for these people. I mean, like,
no, when Bernthal's in the,
that's like the classic, like, you fucked up.
That was when the doors open, I'm like, oh, you have no idea what's about to happen. Like, you don't know, but you know.
As soon as that happened, and at this point, I was no longer hating him, but I'm like, oh man, is this it? Like,
he was going in legitimately putting swords to asses.
Yeah, no, it was, I'm telling you, I was like, all right.
I actually was a little bit like, wow, they're like really just saying fuck it here.
Yeah, no, they were.
He's stopping just short of pulling intestines out and making clothes out of them.
Yeah,
I mean that's about
real.
It.
Like, yeah, I mean, if he would have like wore some guy's face as a mask, it wouldn't even surprise me at that point. Like how they, I mean, they were just,
it was almost like the guards were like, "Fuck, we got to get him out of here." Yeah. Like he's dangerous to the point where we can't control this guy.
Yeah, and then he ends up confronting Fisk over it. Well, Fisk ends up confronting him shortly thereafter. They talk, trade a few hands, and come to an agreement that they don't come to an agreement, basically, if I'm not... they agree to disagree.
I don't remember,
I think,
but...
it's the end of that, because basically, obviously, Frank's been through a little bit of a... little action that probably tuckered him out after that, and then Fisk comes in and kind of gives him a slap or two.
Yeah, I think you're... Yeah,
you know what I mean? But yeah, he had just, you know, obviously fought a dozen prisoners in close quarters combat with nothing but his bare fists and a pencil.
Right.
So he was tired, beat up. I mean, yeah, because don't get me wrong. I mean, Castle took a beating while he was dishing it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and it worked. It worked in a number of ways because Fisk was like, okay, you've cleaned up things for me in here. Now I'm the guy.
Right, yeah. It basically only just made him... I mean, and now he's got the... All, I guess, the individual that he sent to see had guards in his pocket. Well, now they're in Fisk's pocket. You know, so it's sort of a whole... There's just so much going on. And
without even saying it, he pretty much said in so many words or just, you know, glances, I guess, was... You clean things up for me in here. Here's the information you need. Now go out there and clean the rest, and they'll let you out of here. And his view is like, I'm not going to be out of here for a little bit. So if you die, I don't care. If you kill everybody that I need you to kill, that just makes it easier for me. And if you're the only guy I have to worry about when I get out, I'll deal with it then.
Basically, so Fisk, you're hitting it right on the head. Basically, Fisk feels... like, let this guy do all the work, and if that's, like you said, if all he has to deal with is this guy, take my chances with you, then 9 syndicates.
Right, because that's the thing about Wilson Fisk. He's not really a Daredevil villain or a Punisher villain. He's just a nemesis in the ground level of the Marvel Universe, if you even want to say it that way. So he's not really like the Joker or Doctor Doom. He's just like the guy that, you know, doesn't.
You know what, though? In my opinion, I mean, he's a solid villain.
No, he's great.
I mean, even in comics, I mean, he reminds me of like the Batman mafia villains. You know what I mean?
Like Falcone.
Yeah, they managed to make the comic book, but they're obviously not...
they're not priority number one all the time.
Yeah, and they're not running around with katanas, stabbing people, or, you know, lifting things with their mind. You know, there's nothing major about them other than they're, I don't even, you know, just good crime bosses.
Yep. Which actually, they step in when they need to, but the rest of the time they're like, hold on, let's just let this play out. That guy's dead. They're all dead. See, this works, because now I'm going to kind of slide in afterwards and grab the shit that's left over. And
I do like the way they portray Fisk as, you know, he thinks, you know, in his mind, he thinks he's trying to do good. You know, the guy's trying to do God's work here. As far as he's concerned, he's the one cleaning up the city, you know. But I don't know, they in my opinion, Vincent D'Onofrio is actually really good.
Yeah, actually, it was funny. Scott's not on this because he's way behind on this season, but he actually hates D'Onofrio as Kingpin.
Really?
Or at least he did. I don't know how you could, but I think he even, which is weird because he's only in like two episodes, he steps it up even more.
Oh, in season two, I mean, yeah, like you said, for he's not in many episodes, but the couple he's in.
Yeah, for a guy in Keds, yeah. He like gets real serious.
No, I agree. Like everything about him, his demeanor, everything is. The guy does a good job. Again, I'm not gonna knock any casting by these guys anymore, until they prove me right. But I don't think they're gonna.
Honestly. And that was the thing. After when they let Punisher out of prison, I was thinking, like, well, where does he go now? Because mm-hmm. it's only a matter of time before somebody gets word that, oh, yeah, Frank Castle, he's out in the streets again. And I'm like, how are they possibly going to make this guy a part of this whole thing? He's already murdered 37 people before he got in. He just murdered, like, 10 more bare hands, you know, strangling and stabbing everybody in sight.
Yeah. Well, getting at what you're getting at, we sort of glossed over his whole trial situation. I don't want to say he got close, but he got as close as you can get for being the Punisher with Paige, because she was the one that talked to him while he was waiting arraignment or whatever, when he was, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Hopefully somebody knows what I'm saying. But yeah, so they sort of became close, and she start digging into, you know, she's sort of the, I mean, I like her character, but sometimes it's a smidge annoying because, like, she's the resident detective.
I actually like her a lot. I think she's great anyway.
I don't hate her, but she's just, you know, she's the one that's trying to get to the bottom of everything. So she obviously digs up dirt on the Punisher, finds out there's more than meets the eye, and this, that, and the other thing. So
I honestly think that between what happened to her in the very first episode of season one, mm-hmm. combined with the fact that she killed the guy that we both like,
right,
and nobody knows about it.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually
I think she honestly is wanting to tell somebody and is trying to figure out, like, who she can tell that to without getting in trouble.
Frank Castle.
Right, and I think that's what she's thinking. If I can find a way to find the humanity in this guy, I can tell him. And what's he going to do? He's already killed like 400 people. I only kill one guy.
Yeah. It's not like he's going to the cops.
Yeah, he's not going to be like, well, you fucking probably fucked high-fiber. Up now. He'd probably be like, yeah, dude, all right. Yeah. Here, hot. You shoot that guy and I'll stab everybody else. Because that was actually when they go to the diner, for whatever reason he brings her with to the diner, and he's going through the whole thing about, like, yeah, my wife was annoying. And I'd give everything for her to be annoying one more time. When she was basically telling him, like, you obviously, like, are in love with Matt Murdock. Why are you going to run away from him?
Right.
And I was like, this guy's, like, spitting wisdom. He's killing people. No, he's taking beatings left and right. And he just kind of goes, yeah, just give me a Band-Aid. Yeah, whatever. Fuck it. Yeah, let's kill some more people. Like, this guy's doing...
He's on it, dude.
He's doing a lot of things. But I remember when I was watching that scene, I'm like, man, I keep thinking Taxi Driver. And then I read something the next day, and they're like, oh, yeah, we told him, yeah, think Travis Bickle and go from there. And I'm like, oh, all right. Either they honestly put that shit in there on purpose, or I don't know, I just, whatever.
Yeah, no, I like him.
But, yeah, like, the only thing, if there's anything I had, like, any issues with, is, like you said, she kind of becomes the investigative reporter. When she, like, literally starts working for the newspaper, I'm like, come on. You're not just going to give somebody a desk and an office at a major newspaper because they, you know, snooped around in the archives for a couple days.
It's
that doesn't happen.
I didn't hate
like, what if he said
that part, but I sort of, I know what they were going for.
Well, I'm kind of going with Scott's, like, I hate it when they get a computer hacker and they just go tap, 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 bam, everything, I hacked the whole world.
Yeah, right.
I worked at a newspaper for Pentagon, a long time. I'm like, you don't just walk in and go, let me go through your archives. All right, well, you want to be head editor? Yeah, what the hell? No, Let me take a crack at it. I mean, I was going to be a gymnast, and then I was going to be an assassin.
Yeah, I mean, I guess he wasn't really, like, giving her, you know, a columnist job, but she was, he gave her, you know, keys to the file room.
Yeah, and I'm just and then I'm just like, if
but
you
there
wanna
was the whole see, and that gets back to the whole like Nelson
write
and Murdoch
for
was
a minute
kind
first.
Of falling apart at the time. That Castle case got messed up. Foggy was talking to his ex that worked at the other law firm, and now everyone thinks Foggy's the new hot attorney. Blah blah blah. So there's like all kinds of things going on at the time. So
and
really, everything was kind of in limbo. Which
I get it in a way because she is doing a lot of legwork, and you know she's throwing herself in harm's way. And
what was who was the guy that died? The guy, the columnist that she was
Ben
working with?
Something.
Oh yeah, Ben. Because is. Season two, they go to the funeral.
Yeah,
from last season,
and they go to visit. The reason why he gets killed in season one is because they go visiting Wilson Fisk's mother in the nursing home,
And
he's like, you know, you're. He kind of sells it as like, oh, you're bothering my mother, and she's an old woman, and you're making her upset. But I really think that Wilson Fisk just wanted that guy dead anyway, and that was just like a perfect excuse to strangle him in front of whatever.
Yeah, just get rid of him. So yeah, everything's falling apart, so that's where all that goes. And while all this is going on, Elektra has gotten Murdoch to help in her quest to uncover the Hand's hidden agenda, or whatever the case
may be.
That's
what I was going
to
say. Like, we didn't even talk about Elektra really yet, other than
saying.
My
like,
initial
so, like, while all this
whining.
Is going on that we've been talking about, Elektra and Matt are working together to discover the secret of the Hand, and while all that's going on, we're getting flashbacks of what they've been through as a couple / training partners, whatever you want to call them, and there's just so much going on there. We haven't even smidged it yet.
They kind of give you this storyline where she's like this rich girl who just decided one day to become an assassin for no reason, but as the story continues, they really, really, really flesh her character out.
No,
it's not
super,
like they just go, don't give you the 2 minute.
And that's what I'm saying. For us not talking about it, there's so much. I mean, legit, they got her as a 12-year-old or whatever. You know, they brought it all the way back to when she was a child and where she came from and blah, blah, whatever. And Stick is involved. Again, which I actually like that character a lot.
He's like one of my favorite characters.
Like his, you know, his always his comments and mannerisms. You know, it's kind of like, you're an idiot. You know what I mean? Like I just, you know, because he's the old guy that knows stuff, and it's like,
yeah, but he like lives in the garbage, which is awesome.
With his stick. No,
he's actually not that great of a fighter when you think about it. But you know,
he just goes for the kill though.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's. I mean, think about it. You know, if Daredevil could just stab people and kill them, he'd be even, obviously more lethal, but fights would end a lot quicker if he could just stab people.
Yeah.
Stupid morals.
But, yeah, it was just, Elektra was one of those characters. I was like, I don't know. I don't really know much about her. I'm like, I know the Jennifer Garner movie. I've never seen the Jennifer Garner movie, but I can guarantee she's not 1/32nd the amount of Elektra that this girl was.
She's not good, very good.
Like, she sold it every step
of the
way.
The only good thing about that movie was Jennifer Garner's outfit. And other than that, it's basically like, I'm going to compare it to Halle Berry's Catwoman. The movie was the worst movie ever. She looked amazing. I mean, anyone that says Halle Berry or Jennifer Garner didn't look hot in their respective superhero clothes is not.
No, I like Jennifer Garner just fine.
Yeah, the movie was no good. I did see
And
it was not great.
When I saw the trailers, I'm like, yeah, she looks too much like the Kool-Aid mom to be an assassin.
She's hot and everything, but nah. But now this, I forget that girl's name. The girl that plays Elektra, Elodie Young.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's her. Because I kept seeing her name in the credits.
Elodie Young. Let's just say that's what it is. We'll just call her Elektra from now on. She's actually, A, obviously gorgeous. B, pretty, I'm not going to call her, I will. All her fight scenes look really good. You know, sometimes you get and I don't want to sound, you know, we just put up the Mad Men trailer, so I don't want to sound like I'm on the episode of Mad Men, but like a lot of times when you have women fight scenes, sometimes look a little girl fighty. Does that make sense?
Well, that's what I'm saying with Jennifer Garner. I'm sure she trained as hard as she could, but I'm just not buying it.
Like this, the girl that plays Elektra, she looks natural fighting.
Yeah, and I mean, if you look at her filmography, she's got a couple action movies under her belt, but I don't think she trained quite as much for G.I. Joe Retaliation, which she was in.
Actually, I think I'm pretty sure I did see her in that. She was one of the, I think she was really good in it, as a matter of fact. In the last one, right?
Yeah, she played Jinx, I guess.
Yeah, no, there's actually some pretty good fight scenes in that one, too. I mean, yeah, she's been in a few things. So, anywho, the point is, though, she's pretty good. I thought she was in something else. I don't know.
Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Hmm.
And Gods of Egypt, that movie that came out a few months ago.
I do want to see that.
With Gerard Butler.
That was a pretty big flop, though, if I'm not mistaken.
This is Sparta Part 2.
Yeah, that was a pretty big flop. Anyways, the point is, most of the scenes containing her and fighting alongside Daredevil, brilliant. The way she manipulates Murdoch, brilliant. The way she inserts herself back into his life, brilliant. I mean everything, you know, and I was reading online, a lot of people didn't really like the character that much. I thought she was good. I didn't think they forced her down anyone's throat. I mean, I guess they kind of did force her into the story, but it was the whole splitting of the Nelson Murdoch thing. You weren't going to get that any other way. You weren't going to get the other aspects of other storylines to progress separate from Daredevil / Murdoch without with her being the wedge that came between Matt and Foggy, right? I mean,
yeah.
Really, I mean, you needed somebody, and a beautiful woman from anybody's past will do it to you.
Well, yeah, because she worked on the level of Foggy remembers her from 10 years ago when
they were in law
she
school,
ruined his life
yada, yada.
And
yeah,
or, you know, tried to ruin his life.
And that was the thing, yeah. She came around, you know, when they were, you know, in law school working on whatever, and basically consumed Matt's life because he met this woman and spends all his time with her. She's crazy. She likes doing all of this stuff. They beat each other up, you know, whatever, kids. And basically he was sort of shirking his responsibilities, I guess, for lack of a better way to put it.
Yeah, I want to say that they did say that he had a rough last semester of school because he spent all his time with Elektra.
Right, and then he and her have a falling out, and she basically skips town for a decade and comes back right in the middle of nowhere, and it's crazy, and she's got a lot of money, and she wants to hire them and drops money in the account. Now the firm's actually got some money, and everyone hates each other.
Yeah, because they
the
can't...
Tune in next week to...
he can't tell her where the money came from. They're just like, yeah, we got a lot of money.
Right.
Well, oh, really? Well, who's this client?
He didn't want to drop it on Foggy that Elektra's back because Foggy's like... You know, he's got the distaste for her.
Right. And then, you know, he doesn't want to say nothing in front of Karen because he's trying to, like, date her and
thing.
And his whole thing, there's a scene after one of their dates where they're sitting on the porch.
Right, making out.
And it's raining. And she's like, you know, you can come upstairs. And
she's, like,
she's pretty much like, I'm getting ready to, you know, you're throwing it in me, like, in 5 minutes. So get ready. And he's like, yeah. He's like, this has been exactly what I want. And I don't want to fuck it all up, so I'm going to go home. And that's when she first shows up, as he goes home, and he walks in the door, and there she is, sitting on his couch, and he's like, hello, Matthew. And he's like, oh, God.
Yeah.
There goes that date.
Yeah. Again, I thought she was good. I don't think she was the greatest character of the season.
Who?
Elektra.
No.
But she was very... I mean, it's going to be hard to compete... I mean, Fisk in two episodes was amazing, D'Onofrio. Obviously, The Punisher was much better than I expected, just as good as everyone else expected.
I liked the little Jerry Hogarth cameo. That was great. Because I don't know what it is about Carrie Ann Moss, but I like her stoic, like, complete ice queen thing that she does.
Yeah.
In, like, everything I've seen her in recently.
No, she was cool. Yeah, and I liked her from, you know, obviously from Jessica Jones. And then Rosario Dawson gets an episode in, I believe.
She's not my favorite on it. I don't hate her on the show.
I like her. I like her because she's sort of like the one that knows everybody's stuff, but doesn't really. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, she knows Jessica Jones now. She obviously knows Matt's secret. She knows Luke Cage's secret as well. You know, she knows a lot of stuff that's going on, and she's just, you know, the chick. And she has a pretty good scene in there, though, with the hospital and the stuff and the things. I don't remember the context of that, but basically, didn't she, like, drop her badge and gun and quit? I mean,
yes.
She doesn't have a badge and gun, but I think she did throw her badge on the desk. And what was the reason for that?
Because those kids who were imprisoned in that warehouse, she was trying to take care of them, and then she left them alone,
and she
came back, and the dad...
And the ninjas came.
The guy who was like the bookkeeper for the hand.
Stupid ninjas.
He's laying on the floor covered in blood, and those kids are just standing there with that creepy children of the corn look on their face.
Yeah, so what was the deal? You might as well go ahead and explain that, because you just finished...
Well, like one of the
a couple weeks ago.
Her fellow coworker was murdered, and then the dad was murdered.
Yeah. Right.
And then there was the second attack on the hospital, because the first one was when Frank Castle first shows up, and he's just walking the hallways with a pump-action shotgun, just shooting at everything.
Right.
Of course, at least it looks that way. He's not actually shooting at everything.
He didn't kill any.
He was after Grotto.
At the point. He was chasing Grotto and Paige thought that she was in danger, but later on he actually tells her, hey, P.S., you were never in danger. I wasn't trying to shoot you.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to shoot you, but just saying, like, don't get in the way of my bullets ever again, because you might get shot.
Right.
But now the second one was when the hand shows up and all those ninjas start busting through the windows.
And legit ninjas are scaling walls, dropping in air vents. I mean, they're going bananas, these ninjas.
Yeah.
The hand has ninjas.
And then, oddly enough, Foggy's in one of the rooms, and he's, like, looking around with a freaking ice cream face going, like, what the hell's going on in here? And even the next day, he's like, what happened last night?
Dude,
like,
that is actually,
he's
straight up a perfect, like, ice cream face. Like, for real, dude. He's always got that, like, boom.
Yeah, like, you just pee, like, a hot dog, like, slowly falls out the side of his mouth into his lap. Just mustard dripping down his stupid chin.
Oh, man, dude. That's pretty good. Yeah, he does. He's pretty good at that bewildered... What's going on? Even though I'm probably the smartest guy in the room, I have no clue what's happening. He is pretty.
That guy's pretty good.
Yeah, I don't mind him at all. I like his ex girlfriend. I think she should be in more episodes.
I think
giving up some.
I think next season, if there's the next season
again. Well, yeah, there's no way there's not going to be a next. They can't. Now that they just introduced all of it, I mean, that show was hot. I mean, well, actually, I have no idea. I've never, like, looked it up, but...
There hasn't been an announcement yet, but...
I'm going on just general buzz. People like the show.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say they're probably going to do a third season. I think they ought to.
Yeah, I don't see why not.
I mean, they're already going to do a second season of Jessica Jones, and initially that was supposed to be a one and done, I think.
Speaking of...
They're actually bringing the comics back.
Speaking of villains that are like... Well, yeah, she was never a huge... I don't even know if she ever had her own comic as Jewel.
Oh, I don't know about Jewel, but she did as Jessica Jones.
Was there a Jessica Jones, like a detective-type comic?
I guess it was, like, fairly well-received, but, I mean, I don't think it was the bestseller of the year or anything like that, but it probably is now. Seems like anytime Marvel, like, brings a weird character on some screen, minutes later...
Guardians,
like,
of the Galaxy.
Yeah,
done.
Exactly. There's 50 Guardians series going.
Who knew
now.
That before? Now that, yeah, like you said, Rocket's got his own. Everyone's got their own.
Yeah, pretty soon the Collector's going to have his own maxi series where
that,
he just
I would actually
goes around
that
buying
if,
stuff.
If they let it be...
there'll be a whole arc where he goes to the grocery store.
Yeah, it was still Benicio. If they used his image, I would read it. That guy's awesome.
They could make a movie about him. I'd just be into it.
Every scene with him was awesome. Anyways, back
all
there,
one of them.
He had like
1.5. Yeah, you're right. I think he had the Easter egg at the end.
Yeah. That's 2.5.
Yes.
Because he had the one where he asked the chick if she had elbows.
Yes.
The chick that was scrubbing.
Right. Okay.
Anyway, Daredevil.
Back to Daredevil.
Punisher, Elektra.
Hospital, Rosario Dawson.
Oh, P.S. Fisk through the course of all of this, as he's in prison, he I don't want to say he takes on the persona or whatever, but basically is the first time he's referred to as the Kingpin.
Well, he refers to himself as the Kingpin.
Well, the other guy was like the Kingpin or something, right? Or whatever. Was it
William?
Whatever the case was, he basically, this is the first recognition of him being Kingpin.
The guy whose name was William something, William Forsythe. He was the guy from, he's been in a bunch of movies. He was in American
Me. He's one of them guys that you see his face, you know.
Yeah, he was in American Me. He was in Things to Do in Denver When You're Dead. Like, he's not like a big actor, but he's like,
he's in stuff.
He's in a few things.
Right.
He was on that one show on Fox like 10 years ago that lasted four episodes. John Woo or something? John Wick? I don't remember what the
Of those shows.
One of those John shows about a dude with stuff. Now, he's the guy, and then when Fisk gets rid of him via Frank Castle, he becomes the Kingpin.
Right.
But yeah, the reason why Rosario Dawson, the reason why she quits is because the board decides that they're going to take all this murder and mayhem and just kind of bury it.
Put it under the rug.
And they tell her, this is your last, this is your final warning. Just do your job and keep your mouth shut and, you
know. Stick your warnings up your ass, I quit.
Yeah. She pretty much says, "You, with this hospital, used to be here to help people and serve the public, and now you're going to let people die on your watch and just bury it in the books and hope no one ever finds it." And she's like, "I don't want to be part of this." So she decides to quit, which means she's probably going to become some kung fu master in a few shows or three.
No, she's just going to be the underground medic for all the...
Yeah, she'll be the Leslie Tompkins of Daredevil.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah, I actually like the character. I like her as a human. I think she's hot, too. But I think everyone's hot, so whatever.
He thinks Vincent D'Onofrio's hot.
It's not bad. I mean,
he's got moves.
I'm just saying.
He looks good in a suit.
I don't know about the bald head.
I'm over it.
Yeah, it's not bad. Anywho, so moving on so we can wrap this up. Cut to the end, I guess. Actually, we're pretty much towards the end. The hand is basically, we're going to come to the climactic finale where...
Well, there's, if you think about it, there's two.
Oh, with the Punisher as well, with the staff sergeant or whatever.
Yeah.
Corporal, Colonel.
He Sanders. Almost gets off in court because they bring his commanding officer from when he was over in Afghanistan to the stand, and he pretty much does the whole, there's not a finer man or a more reliable man on this planet than Frank Castle.
Greatest dude I ever met.
Yeah, he's the greatest soldier, and then Frank Castle
save
instead.
People.
Yeah, they go, oh, we're going to put Frank Castle on the stand. He's going to tell a story about his family. Jerry's going to feel sympathy. They're going to take it easy on him, and then, you know, they'll give him like a lesser sentence with option for parole or something like that.
And instead, then basically it was like under duress. Like they never really cleared that up though, did they?
What?
Like the whole, basically, like the guard kind of whispers in Frank's ear, and then Frank basically goes off saying, like, yeah, I'm not crazy. I'm a murderer. I love killing people, and I'll do it again, and blah, blah, blah. And then when he goes to jail or whatever, back to jail, I don't think they ever really closed that issue, like why he really wanted to go to prison. Or
maybe
they didn't. Maybe I'm just I don't remember.
No, because I don't recall it myself.
You know what I'm saying though, because I was kind of like, why would he do that? Like, man,
we
were about to go to Arkham.
Like, maybe like the guards already had a plan in place with Fisk, i.e., because they did play that.
Right, but the whole thing was like, what leverage could you have over a man that's lost everything?
Maybe they said, we know how your family died, and
if you want to find out. You know what, and I guess that maybe if I paid more attention, because you're kind of like, because then that leads into, if you want to meet the man that knows the stuff about the things you need to go to jail, maybe. Maybe it was
that
like
could
that.
Be, because they did, at the one beginning of one episode, they played the flashback of Fisk going to prison, Fisk, you know, getting acclimated. And then him learning about Frank Castle, and... Mm-hmm. You know, Frank Castle is coming to this prison if he gets indicted, and they're like, "Oh well,
I can use this." Yeah, you know what? I think you got it there.
That might be it.
So,
woo!
I'm dumb.
Figuring stuff out.
So I don't know
all
stuff.
Night long. Anyway, so we go back to the second last episode.
Gumshoe Page, figuring stuff out.
Yeah, so she goes to visit the colonel or the general or whoever the hell he is. Turns out, at least at this point, it turns out that I think this guy is the blacksmith. Although, because he gets, you know, dealt with in a certain way, maybe he's not. Maybe he works for the blacksmith. I don't know.
Right, and it comes down to Paige appealing to the Punisher's good side, which, that, yeah.
That doesn't not really happen.
His good side is letting God sort him out, basically. So as all that happens, then we have the whole Elektra, Daredevil stick, and the hand, and Nobu, and everybody's kung fu fighting on rooftops and whatnot. And it was a pretty good scene. I just, again, ninjas, more ninjas than you could shake a stick at. No pun intended.
Yeah, ninjas actually, there was one point where there's just an army of them walking across the rooftop.
Yeah, there's
like,
legit
Jesus Christ, there's going to be like 60 of these guys.
Yeah, and they already put down, like, at this point in time, they had put down 100 ninjas. Like, just bring all the ninjas at once then next time. Don't give them 10 ninjas at a time.
Yeah, and this is where you also find out the finer details of Elektra's backstory.
Right, and then without really totally spoiling that, they basically leave that open-ended as well, that, you know, what happens with her towards the end of this, or at the very end of this season, isn't really, is might just be the beginning, basically, is where they kind of put it.
Yeah.
Which I mean, again, and that's actually Elektra's story, like, comic book-wise. Like, that's, like, what happens to her in this movie is what happens to her in real life, i.e. comic book world. So, it's not really a surprise for people that know her or know the story behind her, I guess. I sound like an idiot. But that's basically that.
Yeah.
So, overall, it ends kind of the way you think it would. They don't really... there's no real reconciliation, I think, between Foggy and Matt, though, right? I mean, I don't recall the intricacies of the last episode, as odd as that sounds. I just remember, like...
It ends with the rooftop, and Foggy shows up. Because actually what happens is Foggy goes, after he meets with Hogarth, he goes to the police station, and Mahoney says, we keep two sets of files. We keep the files of the criminals we bring in, and we keep files of the people who were affected by or whatever these crimes. There's two separate files, and there's some person or group of people that didn't want the files of people we brought in. They wanted the files of the people that were affected by / saved by whatever, a robbery, arrest, and
because
so on and so forth.
Yeah, right. They were all the people saved by Daredevil.
Yeah, that's what they said. They had a focus on anybody who was saved by Daredevil, and that's when they start transporting all these prisoners
to this
warehouse.
Because Paige was one of them.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, that's right. Again, I can't stress this enough, and I've tried. There's so much going on, it's almost... Yeah, I mean, it sounds like we talked about a lot, but we haven't talked about anything. I mean, there's so much. I mean, there's the whole storyline with the ADA, the whole Grotto thing. We glazed over that. I mean, there was so much in the story with that. I mean, there's a real lot, and there's a lot of intricacies with the whole Elektra thing that we sort of talked about, but not really.
Yeah, like, because a lot of her story revolved around the fact that Stick abandoned her.
Right.
And part of the reason why she's okay with killing is because she's been abandoned her whole life.
Abandoned her with billionaires, but I mean, whatever. Who's keeping track?
Right, and that was his whole thing.
He could have dropped me there. I'd have been all right.
Yeah, his whole thing was, and that was part of one of the flashbacks. He wasn't being like, oh, yeah, well, I'm done with you. I don't really want to raise a kid. You're annoying. You know, get away from me. He was like, I need you to hide in... I mean, I don't think she really got it back then.
Right.
That he was essentially saying, I need you to hide in plain sight. I don't need you running around in a ninja costume blazing swords all day long. I need
I did love the way she looked. Like, in the I actually loved the way she looked the whole time. Like, the way she kind of sort of had her little face mask. And then, towards the end, when she actually... I forget the guy that makes Daredevil's suit, with his wife, Rebecca, because he's trying to keep him safe or whatever. But blah, blah, blah. The guy that makes the suit and all the cool stuff comes up with some with a suit for Elektra or whatever. And she ends up looking like her look is very good to me towards yes. the end of the season. She really looked the part.
What is that guy? I'm trying to find it.
Melvin Potter.
Yeah. Yeah. It's totally. I can't believe I didn't
And it's not that. Mrs. Wu. It's Mrs. Gao.
Gao.
I'm an idiot.
It's all right.
God damn it.
Wu, Gao.
But I, in scrolling through this, I did fail to mention one character who I happen to like who almost is insignificant in a way, but what makes this show really great is these characters who would generally be insignificant in a movie or even a comic book turn out to be like really interesting, and that's the newspaper guy, Mitchell Ellison.
The guy that hires her?
Yeah, the guy with the beard.
Oh, yeah, no, he's, yeah, he's...
Because he's like this weird old, not weird, but he's like this grizzled veteran newspaper reporter guy who's like...
Kind of a dick.
He's kind of a dick, but he's really right. not, and he's almost like the voice of reason in a way, and at the same time, he's seen everything to the point where, like, the incident, which doesn't get any play in the show, but it gets referred to, which is the Avengers movie.
Right.
He's like, yeah, I've seen yeah, aliens. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. Yeah. He's just like, yeah, I just whatever.
Yeah, which makes him cool because he doesn't completely not believe. He doesn't believe everything he hears, but he also believes that anything's could be. So he's sort of, you know, hey, show me something and I'll believe you. And that's kind of the whole where, like you said, he kind of threw a job at her. But I mean, she had some backup. She had, you know, credible thoughts. So
yeah, it's, even after seeing space worms come out of the sky, he still has a semblance of reasonable doubt right, for everything right, until right. he gets something.
Yeah, they make more mention of the incident in Jessica Jones and whatnot, but that's more of a powered-based show. You know what I mean? Where
let's yeah, just really, say, the reference
Daredevil's
is here.
Sort of more non-powered-based, I guess is the I don't know how else to explain it really.
Yeah, I mean, really, the like only powers any of them have are they're just athletic ability. It's not right. like they can punch through a wall or anything.
Yeah, in theory, Daredevil has some extrasensory powers, but, I mean, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, nothing that's
That's why
completely...
I always say he can win a non-powered fight, but whatever, nobody believes me.
I don't know if I would have believed it before, but I think I'd believe it now.
Well, I'm just saying, I mean, unless you call his extrasensory perception powered, if you don't call it powered, he beats
you
all
You know
ass.
Who Sylvia Brown is? Yeah. That I'm shit's
just
real.
I'm just saying. He beats all ass.
Anyway, we've rambled for like an hour now.
Yeah, it's been
so.
A minute. It's been a minute. So let's get straight to the last portion that you reminded me of earlier, the best part of this whole season, in my opinion. I mean, maybe not. I'm stretching it a bit. But what you're going to want to do is at the very end of this season, watch that last thing. And if you haven't seen the teaser for Luke Cage, you're going to.
Yeah, because it's not available to just, like, click on and be like, oh, dude, look at that. Yeah.
I mean, maybe you could probably find it on YouTube now, but at the very end, you'll see the, watch the end of the credits, and Luke Cage from the show Jessica Jones is now going to have his own show, which is actually...
September 20th.
Probably going to be awesome. I mean, I'm not even joking. That's, again...
Or was it September 30th? One of the,
I don't know.
It's September 2 or 3 with a 0 at the end.
It's happening. And as big of a fan as I am of Daredevil, as much as I did like Jessica Jones, this is the one. I'm more looking forward to this one. Well, again, who knows what they're going to be doing, but if anybody knows anything about Luke Cage and the whole, like, Heroes for Hire situation, like, I don't know what they're even going to... I don't even know what they're planning on. Like, is it just going to be Luke Cage walking around, like, slapping people? Or is it going to be, like, a Heroes for Hire situation? Are they going to introduce other characters that are part of that whole, like, section of comics? Who knows?
Yeah, I was going to say, as much as I enjoy the movies, and as much as I like seeing Iron Man, Captain America fight random whoever, I'm, like, way more into what's going on on the ground.
I love the fact that, yeah, like, this is, like, the ant's perspective, I guess. You know what I mean? Like, this is what's happening in the city while all your shenanigans and shit is going on. You know what I mean? Like, this is people going to work every day. I don't sound like it. But yeah, I mean, it is. That's why. You know what I mean? It's more of like the human perspective. I mean, you get it with, what's it called, with Avengers and the Marvel movies. You get it a little bit more with like S.H.I.E.L.D. because that's obviously a series where you kind of, you get the day-to-day, let's just say. See, like in movies, you don't get the day-to-day operations. You know, and even in S.H.I.E.L.D., you do, but not as much. In these Netflix shows, they really give you the date. You know, you see two people having dinner. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and if you think about the timeline, this second season maybe stretches out over 2 to 4 weeks.
Yeah, really. I mean, really, it's short.
Because, yeah, I mean, Frank Castle's stay in prison might have been 5 days.
Right, yeah. It's not a... Yeah, and that it's, might it's even definitely be not, it's definitely not the course of a year. And that, you know, that's how Jessica Jones... Well, no, Jessica Jones seemed to have gone a little longer, right? Well, they did a lot of flashbacks, too, but I think Jessica Jones probably... I mean, in my mind's eye, probably was only like a
month.
A month, yeah. Maybe two. Something like that. They kind of did a little bit of running around. Daredevil season one, probably a little longer. That might have gone over the course of...
I guess you can actually figure it out because this season ends on Christmas Eve.
There you go.
So wherever they start, just go from there. Yeah. And then when you get to Christmas Eve, then you know how long it lasted. But I don't know. Maybe the first episode they mentioned Thanksgiving.
So we got to see, though, when Luke Cage comes out, if Rosario Dawson makes a cameo in that one, it's safe to say she's going to be Netflix's Stan Lee.
Either that or she's just going to be... She's going to be the McDreamy of the Marvel Universe.
I'm into that.
But for guys, not for women.
Totally for guys. Totally for guys.
Well, not all women, I should say. Yeah. Or maybe all women. I don't know.
I'm just saying, man. She's pretty hot in Clerks, too.
I mean, she's pretty good.
Yeah, she's all right. She's all right.
I just, you know.
But
she's got a lot of competition in terms of, like...
Oh, yeah. I mean, electric.
Likeability.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people.
Yeah. All right, we're good. We're well into an hour. All right,
take us home.
All right, so we could just throw a number at this and, you know.
What are you thinking?
I know you're going to hate it.
Oh, God. What are you, 7.5?
No.
10?
I'm giving this a 10.
Don't say 10. Come on.
This.
God dang it.
This and Fargo, I'm sorry, are the two best shows available right now.
I mean, I'm not saying
it ain't good. By a large margin.
I'm not saying it ain't good. I'm not saying it's.
No, this show is
not awesome, because it is. It's awesome, but it's a 10. Come on, Jesus.
It's a 10.
Ugh.
And again, you're thinking 10 means like the best thing of all time. I'm saying in the grand scope of the Marvel television universe.
See, but that's,
S.H.I.E.L.D.
That's even too wide.
Agent Carter.
That's too wide.
Jessica Jones. How do you make something better than this? I have no idea. The Shield is my absolute favorite show of all time. This show is right in that neighborhood. As is Fargo, as is Justified. To me, those four shows, everything else is at least a point below it. And
I mean, I'm 100% in the, I don't even know what I put on the site, but I'm definitely in the 8.5 to 9 range, and I probably lean towards a 9 just because... Probably because I had lower expectations for The Punisher, and he obviously exceeded, and I had zero expectations for Elektra. Never heard of the actress or any. I mean, I know the character, kind of excited, but sort of. I was more worried that they were kind of pulling a Spider-Man 3 where they just throw everybody into one season. Well, Spider-Man 3 is a movie, but you know what I'm saying? They, you know, I thought maybe the Elektra and Punisher thing was going to be cluttersome, but it turned out pretty good. So I'm just going to keep it with a solid 9. Still means the show is amazing, though.
That's fine.
So we'll call it that.
I'm sticking with mine. But I felt that way about season 1, and I actually feel like this season's better.
See? You see what I'm saying?
But
you see what I'm saying?
Things from both seasons inform things
saying?
That happen in the other. So
last season was a 10. This season's better.
It's just more of what I already loved.
Oh, more of a 10?
Pretty much.
So we'll have to...
If you have the best chicken dinner ever and it comes with the best slice of cake afterwards, all of it's still a 10 individually and as a collective.
It's going to be a 9.5 because I'm going to find something better. There's always something better. There's always something better. Anywho.
No, there's possibility.
Either way, no one wants to listen to you two dick nuts as argue about it.
You might be right.
Well, we stop so we can cut that out. Especially when you hear your voice.
Yeah, no one wants to hear old
crotchy pants.
Foodie McCrabby pants yeah. over there screaming and yelling.
Hey, go do some yard work.
Anyway. So there we go. Back to the stuff. I'm Brian, not usually the host, but hosting today because Scott's way behind. You can find me on Twitter at Pure Rock Fury. Mike, you can find on Twitter at MikeMiro7. You can find the podcast at The Comic Roast. You can find the website at Review and Roast. We're on Facebook at Review and Roast because the Comic Roast page is gone now. And yeah, then reviewandroast.com is where everything is.
And if you're checking this podcast out on Review and Roast, make sure you rate the show too.
Yes.
You can give it a 10 or a 9.
And you can write your own comments and reviews and say, you guys are morons. This show's a 5. And I'll say, well, that's okay. I guess Grey's Anatomy is better. I have no idea.
It is.
And then you can write a review for Grey's Anatomy, and then I'll say it's a 5. And then we'll argue all day, and then we'll become best friends, and we'll buy a tent and go hunt wolves. I don't know. I got nothing. I don't know where all that's coming from. Anyway.
Still talking, though.
Yeah, I gotta shut up now.
Click.
Maybe I'll mark that too. Anyway, we are done, and if you listen, thanks for listening. If you haven't listened, then you're not gonna hear any of this. So we'll see you next week.
Bye.